Well, it's finally happened. You've moved out. You're on your own. Congratulations. But everyone still needs a little help sometimes.
Mom, have you seen my wallet?
It's in your back pocket.
Nah, I checked there.
Your other back pocket, dear.
Ah, thanks, Mom.
Introducing the Mom Personal Assistant, the only smart speaker device with all the wisdom, caring, and sage advice of a mother.
Mom, please call Brad.
Honey, I'm just not sure he's right for you.
Just call him.
Okay, calling Ryan.
No, Mom, I said call Brad.
Trust me.
The Mom PA always has your best interests in mind.
Wish me luck, Mom. Big interview today.
Did you eat breakfast? Is that what you're wearing?
Wait, what?
Did you even shower?
She's there to provide a helping hand whenever you need it.
Mom, set a timer for 40 minutes. Mom?
The Mom Personal Assistant won't function until you say the magic word.
Oh, right. Mom, please set a timer for 40 minutes.
Sure thing, hon, but it's only 30 minutes for that dish.
The Mom PA is always correct and basically knows everything.
Mom, what setting should I use for this laundry?
Mom, do you think I should color my hair?
Hey, Mom, can you please order mac and cheese?
You still have two boxes.
What? No, we're out.
Did you look?
Yeah, I just looked. It's gone.
Do you want me to look?
No, it's okay. I'll go look again.
Try looking with your eyes this time.
Based on God's perfect design, the Mom Personal Assistant is thoughtful, kind, encouraging, and supportive.
You are beautiful. It's okay. You're gonna get through this. I am so proud of you. You can change the world. But right now, hon, you really need to change your socks because they smell like a dumpster.
Ugh, Mom.
The Mom Personal Assistant. Always helpful, always reliable, and always there for you.
Everyone needs one of those, Paul.
Well, Ainsley, are you referring to a mother in our lives that kind of give directions, oversight? I think it'd be perfect, huh? Well, honey, happy Mother's Day. You are an exceptional mother, and I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. And just tell you, after 38 years of marriage, our great kids we have, happily married, tremendous amount of grandchildren. And I'm thrilled because I'm inviting you to pray a blessing over the message we're about to enjoy together, because it's really geared not just at mothers, but at women in general. It's really quite an event in history. And I wanted you to be praying for that. We will be having some extra special guests at the end of my message that will be praying a blessing for our mothers this morning. So I'm looking forward to that, and I know you will too. So, honey?
Yes. What an interesting day to be a mother. My heart is really feeling kind of stirred, especially for our mothers who are caring for young children and school-age children, children in high school. Right now, they're carrying so much, such a heavy load. We have working mothers that are trying to juggle a job, working from home perhaps, homeschooling their children, taking care of all the needs in the home. And it's just a real interesting time to be a mother. Mm-hmm. But aren't we grateful for the Lord's help?
Yes.
And you know, in so many ways, the Lord has been like a mother and is like a mother.
Yes.
To comfort and to encourage and to help us in times where we're feeling down. The Lord is so good, isn't he?
Yes.
And it really is a privilege to serve people. It's really a privilege to serve our families. And that's something we need to remember all the time.
Yes, very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Thank you.
But let's go ahead and pray for the message.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes. Thank you, honey.
All right. Maybe you'd like to reach your hand out to Pastor Paul as well right now.
I welcome that.
Father, we come to you today, and we want to thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that the word of God is unchanging. It is unshakable. It is reliable. And Lord, we want to thank you for a pastor who preaches the word of God, who honors the word of God as he honors the Lord himself. And we're asking that your words would go forth this morning to touch our hearts, to encourage us, to help us to live for you more passionately. And we ask, Lord, that you would help his words to bring direction, to bring comfort, and to bring hope where we need it. And we want to thank you for doing that, Lord, and we thank you again for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, Ainsley, you look so pretty. Just before you go, can I just say Happy Mother's Day with a kiss?
Oh.
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you very much. Well, I'm so grateful. Today is Mother's Day, and what an opportunity for us once again to pay tribute to our mothers. And I know my mother has gone home to be with Jesus 8 years ago and do miss her phone calls every Saturday, do miss her singing happy birthday to me every birthday. And mothers play a prominent role, don't they? It's amazing how significant they are in all of our lives, and we thank God for them. And the Lord's even been helping us. I've been receiving so many just addresses because of our previous messages on just helping a bitter friend and just bringing relationships together. What a perfect time to bring a message that would pay tribute to just women in general, but especially to our mothers. I think a mother loves all the time. I remember a documentary where they were just interviewing mothers whose sons were in prison, but they were all on death row. And every one of the mothers except one said that their son was a good boy. Here, that child of theirs, grown up, may have eliminated 36 lives, but yes, he's a good boy. Boy, that's just the way a mother is, isn't it? Somebody said that a mother, definition is a noun naturally, is a person with an ability to detect a lie and to hear the smallest sounds and to see behind her head. Isn't that amazing? I know for a mother, for all dads, it gives us a great way out of any problem with three words, which are, ask your mother. There it is. It's so perfect. But in our setting today, we're looking at the message is entitled, How Really, when we take a look, the undying love for a mother. It's found in John chapter 19, the undying love for a mother. It's Jesus at the cross. And his mother is there seeing the suffering that is taking place. She knows very clearly that this is her boy, the boy that the angel announced, you are now with child, though you've not known a man. She knows and recalls it was the angels that gave the birth announcement to the shepherds. And when the Magi came into town saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? It's at this situation that we're seeing a tremendous story, and it's in John chapter 19, verse 25 and 27. Let me read that portion to you. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, it's an interesting setting because John, as he's writing this gospel, he's the only gospel writer that includes this. Why? Well, he's there at the cross. John is there along with four other women that we are going to be taking a look at. We're going to just honor those women and honor women in general, but especially how we see Jesus honoring his own mother, even in his agony, showing love to her. I find it intriguing because when we see in verse 25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. One of the things that's happening while the writer is inserting that is that in verse 23, we have the soldiers that are casting lot for Jesus' clothes. Let me just cite that so you can see a little bit of the situation that's happening there. It says, then the soldiers, I'm in verse 23 of John 19. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. In verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and these other women, and John. Now, when we find this area, isn't it interesting? Because Jesus is going to declare these final words. We have seven final words of Jesus on the cross. In the 6 hours that he hung on the cross, the first three words are during the first 3 hours. Then he speaks again, darkness comes over, and these final three words or phrases are in those final 3 hours. You can tell a lot by a person. We all live differently, but it's in those final hours that we really do speak out of the way we live. And I think that's what's so significant for us, to see Jesus in his agony, still mindful of people around him, and then drawing attention to care for his mother and for other people for that matter. So when we notice here, it's important, because I've been in settings. I remember one hospital visit where this dear godly woman was just in her final hours, and she knew somebody came into this darkened hospital room. She knew it was me. She said, "Oh, Pastor Paul, I'm ready to go." Isn't that wonderful? How she lived, she was ready. And we see something here with Jesus, his words, because Warren Wiersbe says the windows into the heart of God are on display in his care for his mother and for those that are around him. Well, let's take a look. Our first point is really brave-hearted women standing at the cross. We want to highlight these women today, the important message that we have on this Mother's Day, but especially for women in general, so significant, because in Jesus' greatest hours, greatest trial at the cross, right there, there are women and one man. You'd wonder, well, where are those disciples? Where is Andrew? Where is Bartholomew? Where's Peter? And they're gone. We know so clearly that Peter was the one that says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Says that in Matthew 26, verse 35. But he's gone. So we see something that's happening here. The faithful women that are still with Jesus. We say brave-hearted women because it took courage to be there for a condemned man. People would come to that conclusion, maybe they're guilty too. Look at their hanging out with that condemned criminal. So we see that they are there. We've got some faithful women that are throughout the Bible, and I just want to highlight that just for a moment, because I'm always so intrigued and impressed with the quality of ministry here at Hope Chapel, the dedication and the faithfulness of the women of God in their home and in their work setting, and in the situation of their service here among our community and here at the church. But I just want to, for the sake of you who are just enjoying our time together, here are some names in Scripture that played prominent roles in the history and especially making their names in the Bible. Old Testament, Miriam, number one. Miriam, who was the sister of Moses, but was a worship leader. Let me list another one, Deborah. She was a political leader during the book or the times of the Judges. Amazing woman. We also have another one, Abigail, the wife of David. She made the decision and really, for the betterment, turned the tide, I would think, of a nation because of her wise decision to hold off David from doing something. Esther's another one. She was an influential queen of Persia, yet she was a little Jewish gal. Amazing. Great quality in her. And then Huldah. Huldah was a prophetess in Scripture. Just a few names I want to just cite in the Old Testament. Let me just share a couple other names from the New Testament as well. Lydia, she was the first European convert. Lydia, Paul discovered when God gave him a vision of a Macedonian man praying, "Come, come, help us." And he goes on in there, and this really is the startup of the church at Philippi. But in that process, he discovers these women having a prayer meeting by the river. Lydia was one of them. Believe the gospel being preached through the Apostle Paul as a missionary. And that started the whole process. It's amazing. We have others that are mentioned when Paul's writing his letters to the churches that are so significant because they were partners with him in ministry. That's important for us, especially for men, that the prominent role that women play in the life of the church. Here's some names: Priscilla, That's a familiar name, writing Priscilla, how important she played. Also, Julia and Junia. He mentions about Junia, noting that among the apostles, and that's in Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Isn't it amazing that these women are addressed by the great apostle Paul? They are important women. Also, we have Euodia and Syntyche, and these are women who labored with Paul in the gospel. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. These women labored with Paul in the gospel. They worked the ministry with Paul. So I'm so grateful. I just want to highlight, I'm so grateful for the women who have played such prominent roles in the affairs of our church and in our society. And I know you would attest to your home and your own livelihood how grateful we are for those women and those godly women and the wisdom that they bring. Even women in ministry that we know, our own church, the Four Square Movement, started by a very godly woman, very gifted woman, and willing to make the sacrifice necessary. Her name, Amy Simple McPherson. You may want to Google that, read about her. What an amazing woman she was, and tremendous sacrifice for the sake of the call of God on her life. But I know as a pastor, whenever there's a time for a project or a need come, we find that the women sign up first. Even when there's an issue in the home and there's something that needs to be addressed, who usually makes the call? Seems to be the women that will make the call. Mary Elizabeth Braddon writes this in her book, Hostages to Fortune. She says, "How are our churches beautified, our sick tended, our poor fed, our children taught and cared for and civilized? Do you think that the masculine element goes for much in these things? No. Women are the church's strong rock, and as they were the last at the foot of the cross, so they have become the first at the altar." I like that. I think it's fantastic. And we have really four women that are at the foot of the cross right now. Three of them happen to be named Mary. Now, Mary is a very popular name because it really is a derivative of Miriam, and Miriam was very noteworthy among the Jewish culture. But we have about seven Marys that are listed in the New Testament, and it's important. So Mary herself, which is the mother of Jesus, Mary's sister is there, and also Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Let's take a look here just a little bit, and just look at these other three ladies. We'll look at Mary in just a moment. But some of these brave-hearted women that are standing at the cross. In verse 25, again, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." First of all, Mary's sister, her name really is Salome. And it's interesting because Mark includes her name, and that's in Mark chapter 15, verse 40, Salome. She's the wife of Zebedee. Remember that? The mother of Zebedee went to Jesus, the storyline goes. And it's right there in Matthew 20, verse 21. The mother of Zebedee, we know her as Salome, asked Jesus, "Could you do me a favor?" Like any good mother, right? Let's get our children to the front of the class, to the first prominent place of displayment. She says, "Could you make sure that my two boys, James and John, are seated there to your left and to your right when you come into your kingdom?" Man, that just caused a real ruckus among the other disciples, probably because they wish they had thought about that. But here we have Salome, who's asking for this special request. But she's now at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus suffer. Letter B, we have Mary, the wife of Clopas. And Clopas, it's interesting, it could also say Cleopas, and that person's name is cited in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 53. In Luke chapter 24, verse 18, Cleopas is one of the two men that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, lo and behold, because it's after Jesus' resurrection, and as we know in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus appeared to many for 40 days after his resurrection. So we have Jesus appeared to Cleopas, and they did not know it was Jesus. It's This man's wife we're talking about, Mary, the wife of Clopas, is mentioning here. So in reference to that, she's also the mother of James the Less, which is one of the 12 disciples, James the Less. They cite James the Less as the son of Alphaeus. Now that's mentioned as well in Mark chapter 3, verse 18. James the Less, son of Alphaeus. And Alphaeus is a variant of Clopas. So interesting to note, Mary, the wife of Clopas, she's also at the foot of the cross. We know that this is the same Mary when it's referred to with Mary Magdalene at the tomb when it's opened, the other Mary. She is that other Mary at the tomb. And then letter C, we have Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is one of the most famous Marys, probably next to the mother of Jesus. And Mary is the one that had a sordid background. She's the one that Jesus cleaned up, cast out seven demons. She is there present at the tomb as well on Easter Sunday. And we know here that it's interesting, she's from Magdala. Many of you have been with Ainsley Mead when we've gone to the Holy Land. And Magdala, which is that community just really 2 miles north of Tiberias. And we've been there among the ruins. It's a great preserved area. It's wonderful to take a look at. Can't wait for you to join us next time we go to Israel. But we see here that she's that one that probably is very noteworthy when Jesus is talking about. And we see that all of a sudden this woman comes in and cleans the feet of Jesus with her tears and her hair. We know it's Mary that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 7, verse 42. He says, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Isn't it an interesting thing to note? And it's wonderful. These three brave-hearted women are at the cross. And the mother of Jesus makes the fourth that is there. So when we take a look here now, let's look at our second point, a broken-hearted woman suffering at the cross. This is Mary. Mary now. And we see what's taking place. And our first letter is letter A. A prediction is fulfilled. When we look at the prediction that's fulfilled 33 years ago, and you may want to write down Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 35. You remember the event where we have Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to be dedicated in the temple. And there's this man, his name is Simeon. I like that section of scripture that I just referenced in Luke 2, 22 and following, because the term Holy Spirit is mentioned 3 times. Simeon, who is having the Holy Spirit upon him and told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ, was then led by the Spirit. Somehow the Holy Spirit says, that Christ child is in the temple now. And we have this reference, that prediction about what was going to take place in Mary's life. Let me read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 34 to 35. And it says, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Well, this sword that Simeon was prophesying was now taking place. Mary is at the foot of the cross, and she is suffering, seeing her child suffer. That is a dreadful thing for any parent, but especially for a mother. So you see what's happening here as Mary sees, I'm sure, many troubles. When she heard that prophecy way back 33 years ago, she saw the threat on that little child's life when Herod was trying to eradicate so many of the young children, 2 years and under in Bethlehem. The plight to Egypt, trying to flee to save the child's life. Also, when Jesus started to begin his ministry right there in Nazareth, his hometown, that the ground people decided they wanted to push him off the cliff. You remember that episode taking place. But here we have the crucifixion And this really is the sword that Simeon had predicted. So I just want to take a little side note. It's important for us to note, because suffering really does happen to all of us, does it not? Here we have Mary had a prophecy given that there's going to be a sword that pierces, yes, your own soul. We know as Christians that God has already shown us in Scripture prominent, great people who have suffered. Some to make note of is Job, also Joseph. How about Jeremiah? Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul, remember when he was told by a prophet that was brought in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, you go in there and tell Saul how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What an amazing thing that is to take note of that, the suffering. God knows in advance, does he not? He knows that good-meaning, well-dedicated people like you and me, that there could be times of suffering. Those things happen. Matter of fact, some of the scriptures to cite, when God told us in advance, we have very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So it's interesting to note, God's already given us notice in advance, hasn't he? I just want to help you and me in times like this, like, Lord, is there any indication we might be suffering at any time in our life? I note also how in John chapter 16, verse 33, when he says so clearly, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. So it's important for us. Nothing comes into our life that doesn't first come across God Almighty's desk. He knows we're going to come through it okay. God knows everything. And if we are serious students of the Word, keeping close ear to what the Spirit of God would be saying. Sometimes these areas of suffering, areas of challenge, don't really take us by surprise. But it is important. I like what James chapter 4, verse 4 says, that whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4, 4. So I guess when it comes right down to that, whose enemy do you really want? Do you want just the world to be upset with you because you're just walking such a pure life? And maybe even going contrary to public opinion? Or do you want to be the enemy of God and be well received by everybody around you? Well, that's something I just want to throw in there, because we have the prediction is fulfilled when Mary receives word, and this sword shall pierce your own soul. But letter B, compassion is extended. We're taking a look at this brokenhearted woman who's suffering at the cross. And look at verse 26, because we see so clearly, and it says, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Wow. Isn't that amazing when we see the compassion that is extended there? Suffering is all-consuming. I don't know how much you've ever suffered physically or emotionally. When we see or have gone through it ourselves, it is a very difficult time, either for those who are just filled with anger, or they're just irritable, or they're questioning God, why am I suffering so? But here Jesus, in the final hours on the cross, gathers himself and is very mindful of his mother. Wow, that touches my heart when he gives that word of encouragement and helping her and addressing. Jesus' statements always, when we see on the cross, always focused on others. Here's three of them. Here he is suffering on the cross for humanity. And we see him say in Luke 23, 34, when he addresses this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He's thinking of others, is he not? Isn't it amazing? Another one, in Luke 23, 43, he says these words, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He's going through his own agony, barely able to catch his own breath, body raked with pain, and he's careful and mindful of others. And then here we have in verse 26, woman, behold your son. He's caring for his mother. Jesus is always absorbed in his awareness. He has his own suffering. He's fully aware of his own pain, but he's also mindful of others as well. It's interesting because really just past day of the 8th, really of Friday, that we were celebrating 75 years, the conclusion of World War II. Winston Churchill addressed the British Royal Air Force with one of his most famous sayings when he said, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." That's one of his most famous sayings. I want to say about Jesus, never in the history of all of the world have so many owed so much to one man. Jesus in his suffering considers everyone that's around him. And let her see, the provision is made as well. Let's look at verse 27 now, where Jesus comes again and says to John, who is there, "Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." So when we look here, how significant that is, tradition says that two things either happened. John took Mary to his second home in Jerusalem. Some say that she lived there with John for the last 11 years and then died in Jerusalem. What I feel, most also believe that John eventually made his way up to Ephesus, where he lived out his days, and there Mary died in Ephesus. So that's really not our point right now, but it is interesting. John takes Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why John? Why not some of the other siblings that would be around there? Because we know Jesus is the oldest. Tradition would say you take care of your parents as the oldest, but Mary also had other children. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. She has four sons that are named there and other daughters. So there are other children. How come not them? Some feel because Jesus would not hand off his mother to unbelievers. After the resurrection, they did become believers. Matter of fact, James, one of the brothers, half-brothers of Jesus, became a prominent pillar in the church. But I do like the fact that we have here Jesus, as he's on the cross, as God, he deals with eternal matters. But as a man, he teaches us to really honor our mothers and our fathers. Well, I want to really bring this message with that realization, how important it has been for us. These last few weeks, we've just been dealing with helping a bitter friend. We thank God for many of you who are saying this has really been a great healing time, not only in the quarantine era that we're in. I'm able to spend time with family and friends. My heart weeps for some of the grandparents that are having to be somewhat distant from their own families. I hear of stories where a new grandchild is born and the grandparents are at the end of the driveway looking into the garage to see their new grandchild. But there's a lot of sacrifices, is there not? But we want to thank God how we are to honor our mothers and our fathers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 3 cites that so clearly. When it says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." That's for younger children, in the Lord. It's pretty easy to obey a child or have a child obey their parents when they are Christians or in the Lord. And it goes on, "For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." It's a wonderful thing. I want to just cite Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, when it says, "Honor your father and mother." For you and I today, we want to honor the position that they hold. Many times we do hear of accounts where the mother or the father, or maybe both, weren't really there for that child growing up. And resentment comes in. Well, we always want to remember, let's honor that position that they hold. Doesn't mean obey as an adult. I just want to add that. Some people say, "Well, I'm just not going to listen to them." Well, just at least honor that position on this great Mother's Day, on this great Father's Day that's coming up. Honor their position. Watch how you do that as unto the Lord, how God will minister grace in that relationship. We know the scripture says to honor the king, honor all people, but especially the king. And when Peter was writing his epistle, man, Caesar was in control and was not very nice at all to the Christians. So we want to honor especially our parents at this time, and especially our mothers. And in concluding this message, it's interesting how Jesus honored his mother in his agony and pain. I was thinking earlier how that maybe you who are with me right now and watching, that you might be that parent that your child has been praying, I want my mother to come to faith in Jesus. You know that child, that adult child, or even that young little person that has such a childlike faith in Jesus. And it really does challenge us, doesn't it? It's like, well, we were never that religious growing up, but they've been praying for mom. They've been praying for grandmother to receive Christ. This could be that day. Maybe you're watching and your mother's distant because of the social distancing, but you know that she's been praying for you. And you're here today listening to this message because God has answered her prayer. But you know also her prayer has been, oh, dear Lord, save my child. Help my son. Deliver my daughter. Bring them to salvation in you. I'd like to lead us in that prayer right now. For the sake of the prayers of both your children praying for your salvation, Mom, or for your mother who's been praying, I want my son and daughter to be with me in heaven one day. Would you pray this simple prayer with me? It goes just like this. Dear Jesus, go ahead and pray it right out loud. Don't worry about anybody listening to you. Maybe you're by yourself, but I bet there's others that are right there with you. Again, dear Jesus, I believe in you. And I thank you for this story, how you suffered on the cross. And as we gather around this story again, you did this for me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. Lord, help me to live for you. Help me to trust you, and especially trust you for eternal life in heaven. I give you my life now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a simple prayer. It's a powerful prayer. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why don't you tell somebody today? We would love to hear how you prayed that prayer as well. Say, I accepted Christ on Mother's Day. Wow, how wonderful. God's blessings to you. So grateful that you have joined us. And we have a special treat for you. For our mothers that are here, we want to pray that blessing for you. Continue to carry on and enjoy this presentation for you. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Hi, my name is Jonah Ellsworth.
And I'm Joshua Ellsworth.
And I'm Jackson Ellsworth. To all the mothers at Hope Chapel, we pray that you all feel loved on this special day and that you know how important you are in all of our lives. We appreciate your guidance, your tenderness, your love, and care for us. And we want you to know that you are truly appreciated. Thank you for all you do in our lives. Happy Mother's Day.
We miss you all at Hope Chapel. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, my name is Ellis.
Hi, my name is Liv.
I want to pray for the mommies. Thank you, Jesus, that they won't die and that they feel better and that they also have some babies and they feel good for them and that they have good times with their daddy and the people that are children. I hope you have a good time with enjoying them.
Amen.
Dear God, I hope that all of the mommies are doing well and that they are just filled with joy and not scared about what's happening right now. And I pray that your angels have authority over them and that they are not scared and that we may all go to church again.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Elena. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that I love my mama, and that I love her hugs. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye!
Happy Mother's Day! going to pray for you all. God, thank you for all the mothers around the world. I pray that they have a good Mother's Day and that they feel special at this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Dear God, help the mothers stay safe. Amen.
Hi, I'm Aiden McGee, and this is my Mother's Day prayer. Dear Lord, today we just ask you to send your blessings upon all the mothers out there and their families as well, that during these hectic and uncertain times, you can just send your love and support to those mothers as they give their love and support onto their family and their children. Thank you, Lord, for sending mothers to us as angels and that we can just get through this time all together. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And
his name be upon want to thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach today. It's our desire to share the teachings of Hope Chapel globally and to hear how they empower others to follow Jesus. If today's message encouraged you to follow Jesus, we want to know. You can email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you'd like to support us financially, you can give online securely at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can mail that check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. We hope that you would be interested in having us contact you. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going online at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. I want to thank you, and God bless you.